memorization and that kind of thing. When you had him for art appreciation, you learned to appreciate the artist because he enjoyed it so much. He made it real for you.
And he was an educator too.
He was an educator. And he was also a fine artist. Yes. I have several of his works at home that I purchased over the years. Yeah. Yeah. He gave me one as a wedding gift.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Show you how close the professors were to the students, you know.
Yeah.
So with art and music, I credit this institution highly for developing that. I like so many kids in my age bracket coming from working families, immigrants and so forth. There wasn't too much
contact other things
with the art world or with music. My mother and father used to sing a lot, which was wonderful. But it was through the kind of involvement with the teachers here that many of us got to be art lovers.
Wonderful. Now, were you in the chorus all the way through?
Not all 4 years, but I think 2.5 years.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Ruth DeVillafranca was pretty much the music department, or did they have others?
They had others. Yeah, they had others. And they came on board when I was here.
Yeah, this was a real transition time.
They were developing the music department into a full-fledged major. Chuck Lanning.
Lanning
came on board.
Merv Whitcomb was here then?
Merv Whitcomb, yeah. He became the department chair when Ruth left.
Left.
There was, I can't think of the name now.
So it was a fairly good size department?
Yeah, they had maybe 4 or 5 professors.
Because for years she was there. I mean, she was just growing here.
But that was when music was part of everybody's education. But they didn't have a major.
Right.
They developed it around that time.
Right, right.
Brought in all of these professors.
How about Dr. Haas? I mean, we can't get away from her. Did you know her well, or what?
Yes.
What would you say?
She is the epitome of college president. Again, we're talking about apples and oranges when you look at. I know the president of Harvard.
So he's the one who went to Worcester, isn't he?
Right. Yeah. And his younger brothers went to King Street School, where I was principal. So Neil Rubenstein, who's the president, was a very nice guy, but he got this huge, massive institution. The average student probably sees him once or twice in the 4 years that they're there.
Right.
Ruth Haas was president of a small college and knew everybody in the college. When I graduated, every time I got a promotion, I became an assistant principal, I'd get a note from her. Became a principal, I got a note from her. Congratulating me. When my first wife died, she was there at the wake. This is the kind of thing I mean about the environment in a small college versus a big university.
Now, how did you, was it the fact just of size, or was there something about her that she would develop this?
She was a liberal thinker in so far as she was influenced by the Columbia movement, the modern movement of teacher education. But she was a very conservative person in her values and her behavior. She was a very dignified lady, at least to us as students. And it was hard for her to, I think, adjust to the new age. Her last few years must have been tough. They were. I can remember in the 60s going to a session at the Berkshire Theater where Bishop Pike came to talk about the Vietnamese War. He was, of course, against it. And the place was jammed with people. A lot of the so-called beatniks and so forth. Everybody was well behaved, but it was a hustle and bustle and a lot of noise. And there were people standing up all around the edges of the room because every seat was taken. Well, she was in front of me with Trudy Braun. And she didn't like some of the behavior of some of the young people were displaying. And Trudy would say, forget it, Ruth, you know, ignore them. And right across the aisle from her was a young man who had a seat he was saving for someone. And a woman came down and took the seat. And when she sat down, he reached over and gave her a big kiss. And Ruth started to get up. And
public display of emotion.
And Trudy took her arm and says, oh, sit down, sit down, sit down. And so she did. And then a little while later, he leaned over again and gave her a big passionate kiss. Well, that was enough. So Dr. Haas got up, went over to the gentleman, shook his shoulder a little bit, says, we don't do that here. And he said, it's all right, Dr. Haas, this is my wife. Well, that's fine. You do that when you go home. But here, you don't do that. So I thought that that was
right.
Quite a picture of Dr. Haas and the contrast of,
sure.
of what was okay in 1950 and then what wasn't okay in the late 60s.
Right. How did she get to know you, or how did you get to know her so well?
Well, when we first came in, I remember there was a reception. She would meet every student, shake your hand, and memorize your name. Very much the way I would do as a principal later. I would know all my kids. Until it got to be, when we had over 450 kids, then I couldn't do it anymore. But she just made it a point to know everybody's name. And you'd see her at various events. She would be present at many of these things. I never had her in class. She did teach before she became president.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any exposure to her teaching, but they say she was a very good teacher. Just from,
she was just
running
there.
Into her.
Right.
She was just there. College was small
and
enough to see her in the halls.
Right. And she would speak to you.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'd speak in the halls and ask a question or two or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that your experience was unusual, or did she know everybody in that?
I think she knew just about everyone. Just about everyone. You know, another interesting thing about the college at that time, those students who planned to become teachers, that was most of us, had to go through a screening process. Are you familiar with that?
After the first 2 years.
Yeah,
tell me about it. No, I don't know the details.
Yeah. Well, it was somewhat worrisome to students. They thought, oh, gee, am I going to be screened? Very few were. But there were times when you wouldn't see a student come back after the first year because they felt, for whatever reason, they didn't think he would make a suitable teacher. Now, that sounds terrible today. But you know, it wasn't really such a bad idea when you consider the importance of teaching.
That's right.
And
even for the student, I mean, get him on a track where he is more suited.
Well, one of the fellows who was screened, a fellow I knew fairly well, turned out for very good reason. He was later convicted of child molestation. A Boy Scout. He was a Boy Scout leader. Not a very good one, apparently. There was another person who was screened who I thought should have been. So it really wasn't a...
How did they do it? Did the faculty...
They had a committee, I believe, a screening committee, and they would go over the list of students and get feedback, I guess, from the professors. The people they felt were not very good people. People not suited to teaching would be asked not to return.
Mm-hmm.
Is I say, very, very few ever
went through that.
Yeah.
Did you work while you were in school?
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
What did you do then?
Well, I worked at the A&P as a meat cutter.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of it was, A&P.
Mm-hmm. Did most students work?
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. The boys, I'm not so sure about the girls.
Mm-hmm.
The girls might have done camp counseling, mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. What was your extracurricular activity? You mentioned, I know, the chorus.
Of course, I worked a great deal.
Yeah.
We were a big family of
sure.
five kids. I was the second oldest. My oldest brother was in the Army. So my...
What a burden on you.
Yeah, my income was needed.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really have as much time as some of the other kids. I did enjoy the chorus. I was on the Athletic Association for a brief time. I don't know why I'm the least athletic person around, but Harvey Jessup nailed me. And
what was he like?
He was very charismatic.
Was he?
Yeah, the kids liked him very much. He got along well. He wasn't that much older than the students.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. The others, Dottie Holman and I think
Alice Donnelly,
were not as popular with the kids, especially Alice Donnelly. She was actually disliked intensely by most people because she was such a stickler. But Harvey came on board, and it was a breath of fresh air that he took to him.
How long was he here? Because he did the original coaching, didn't he? He did.
I think he was here my last 3 years, and then a few years after that.
Oh, okay.
Then he went on to a bigger job somewhere.
Did he?
Yeah.
I've not followed through on him at all, so I didn't. But I wondered, because he seemed to be popular.
Yeah, he was. He was. And he died young.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he developed, I think it's multiple sclerosis.
Oh, wow. Did he stay in this area?
No, he moved down to, I think, New Orleans, if I'm not mistaken. And then when he died, he was back here.
Okay.
Where they threw a dinner for him at the Vespucci Lodge. I remember going to that when he was ill, but still.
When would that have been, if you remember?
Ooh. 15, 20 years ago, maybe close to 20 years ago.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
To follow through on that. What have I forgot? Trying to create a picture of life here during those years.
Well, there was, there probably still is a problem with those who commute, those who live on campus. We had that then.
Did you?
Yeah. The Danbury kids obviously lived at home.
Sure.
There might have been a few who didn't, but...
So there was a little barrier.
Yeah, there was. Those of us who lived at home didn't get that dormitory experience and so forth. Of course, only the girls had a dorm at that time anyway. You probably have heard of the famous Quonset hut.
Yes, yes.
That was quite an interesting phenomenon.
Tell me about that one.
That was a rec hall, the bookstore, a meeting place, all wrapped in one. It was an Army surplus Quonset hut. There was a ping pong table in it, and some booths where kids would play bridge.
Okay.
Where they should be studying.
I'm sure the smoke was pretty thick.
Yeah. And the bookstore was probably half the size of this room.
Oh, my God. Now, was there more than one Quonset hut? I've seen references.
Not when I was here.
Just the one?
I think there was only the one. They might have added one later.
Okay. Did they call it Curly Hall then?
Curly Hall, yeah. For a student who died. Yeah.
And so that was the social center of the place, I guess.
It was. And also, The teachers would hang out there.
Oh.
To a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is sort of unusual.
Sure, it is. It is. That's an important element. What else can you think of that? Did you drive to school? No, you lived nearby.
I lived in town, so I was able to walk.
Was there a parking lot?
Those were very little parking.
Yeah,
very, very
street
little
parking. I guess,
yeah, yeah, street parking. There was very little parking. I don't think all the staff even had cars. I think they
probably not.
Yeah,
probably.
Some of them walked.
They lived nearby.
Yeah, nearby streets.
Yeah.
I probably painted a rosier picture than I should have, but for me, at any rate, it was a good time.
Good. What other colors could you have painted? I mean, what should
I think
you?
That some of the ed courses were a little weren't demanding enough, and I saw some of that in graduate courses.
Did you come here for your?
I did. I took courses here when they first started the master's program, then I transferred to Fairfield.
Okay.
I think some of those classes were probably not as efficiently run as
they
could have been. I always felt that there wasn't much supervision, but there still isn't of professors, as there is in public school.
Mm-hmm.
Elementary and high school teachers are observed all the time. I don't ever remember an administrator sitting in a classroom to observe the professor's
here.
Class
not
here.
Much evaluation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that not true anymore?
It's still pretty free. The department chairman is required by contract to do it every so often.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that's not that frequently.
Uh-huh.
It's not even every year, I don't think. Unless once a person is on tenure, till they're on tenure, to get this. How about your student teaching? You supervised pretty carefully
on
that?
Yep. Of course, the teachers were members of the college.
Mm-hmm.
Staff. The teaching experiences, the training experiences were excellent. Well, we had four times out.
Mm.
And now, I don't know if it's...
Four times? Over the 4 years?
Over 2 years.
Over the 2 years.
Yeah, two were supposedly observation periods. We did some teaching, and then two, we do a lot of teaching.
Wow. Now, you didn't go out in our first and second year until you were actually screened.
Last 2 years.
Just the last two.
Mm-hmm. There was more hands-on student teaching than there is now.
Sure.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate. I think it's good for kids to get out there.
So four times in the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, after you finished, you went into the Danbury system?
No, I went to Stanford. No. Taught there for a few years, then came to Danbury.
And worked your way?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Ben, if you were writing this and seeing it from your point of view, what would you stress? If you had to stress one thing in a history of this time, what would you bring out?
For the 1950s, I would stress the experimental nature of the college, coming of age, so to speak, in the educational philosophy that really prevailed in the 20s and 30s. Some of the ideas came from that period, but that experimentation, I think, made this vibrant school. I'd also stress the importance of the smallness, the philosophy of knowing all the students, doing things with the faculty, doing things with the students.
Those are 2 points that I picked up from others, but you emphasize the Columbia and the experimental stronger than most, and I think you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. I think that on the negative side, they could have been more challenging. In some, as I indicated with the education courses especially. Being a teacher's college, you weren't getting the very best science students, math students. So I suppose they couldn't be too demanding in those areas. It certainly would have hurt me because I wasn't very adept at higher math. But overall, I think that I did better here than if I had gone to a big university.
That's great.
What do we do?
You know, it is interesting that you're separated from Truman's time here by 15 years or so, but he has very much the same feeling. It was small. I grew in areas where in a bigger school I never would have done it. That's an interesting connection, I think.
Yeah.
Well, look, I really...